Well, could you turn back in your Bible to Matthew chapter 9 and verse 35? Matthew chapter 9 and verse 35. It says, Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered, like sheep having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, The harvest is truly plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. Let's just pray together. Father, we thank you for your word. And Lord, we thank you that we can study it so freely today. And Lord, we just want to come to you to commit our dependence upon you, to understand and to hear your voice this morning. And Lord, I just pray that you would that the Spirit would guide us into truth this morning, that you'd give us ears to hear what you'd have to say to us today. And I pray, Lord, that we wouldn't be listening to my words today, but to your wonderful words to us, and that you'd give us your message for today. Through Jesus, amen. Well, in the passage that we read, we see Jesus, and here is Jesus. He's walking the streets of Judea, and as he walks the streets of Judea, he sees people. He sees lost people, people without hope, people who are running towards a cliff edge called hell, and these people don't even realize it. And God has given people good rules to live by. He's told us to. He said, don't steal, don't kill. If you're married, don't split up. Love God with all your thinking, in all your decision making, with all your intellectual capacity. And these are good rules, aren't they? These are good rules to live by. And if everybody kept them, we would live in a far better place, wouldn't we? But we've all broken these rules. And it doesn't matter who we are, whether we're rich or poor, whether we're young or old, whether we're respectable or unrespectable, we've all broken God's good and lovely rules. And we are stuck because we're on our way to hell, because that is the punishment that God has said has put together for just breaking one of God's rules. And there's only one way we can be rescued, and that's through trusting in Jesus' finished work on the cross for our sins. And as Jesus walks around Judea, he sees people like sheep, scattered and weary, gone astray, and he's moved with compassion. The whole of his innermost being is moved and filled with compassion for the sheep he sees around him. And here is Jesus. He's coming towards the end of his ministry on earth. And in just a year or so, his ministry on earth will be finished. Soon he will die on the cross and rise again and then ascend into heaven. And what's his concern about? What's his concern about? Well, his concern about is for the millions of people on their way to hell, and for those who are the only people who could tell them that Jesus is the Good Shepherd and the only answer to their problem. Our friends at college, university, our friends at work, our friends in Shepshed, who's going to help them? Who's going to show them Jesus? And there are about 7,000 languages in active use today, and less than half of them have a completed New Testament. And many languages, as we learnt this morning in the children's talk, there are many languages that don't even have a single book in the Bible. In that whole language group, who's going to reach these people? And so in this passage we find Jesus paints a seed of a harvest field I just wanted to show you a harvest field on the screen. And you can see there are many, many, many millions of grains of corn. How many grains of corn do you think are in that picture? Think of how many grains of corn a single wheat has. And then multiply that by the vastness of the length and width of the harvest field. And the harvest is truly plentiful, isn't it? There are millions. You know, each one of those corns represents an unsaved person in this world. And how many workers are there who are reaching them? Well, Jesus tells us just a few labourers. And the situation is desperate. And nothing has changed today. The situation that was in Jesus' day is the situation in our day. A massive harvest field and few workers. Well, tonight I want to ask three big questions for us to think about. Three big questions. And the first is this. Will you see the need? Will you see the need? I don't know whether you've probably seen adverts on TV for charities. And, you know, the ones that show little children who are malnourished and have a horrible diseases, they really tug at your heartstrings, don't they? When you see on the TV, you know, children, maybe in third world countries, maybe in this country, malnourished, and they just tug at our heartstrings. But right in this passage, Jesus isn't talking about helping malnourished children. There is a much, much more serious problem, and it's this, that people are on their way to hell, on their way to a lost eternity, where there's wailing and gnashing of teeth, where the flame doesn't go out forever and ever and ever and ever. And right across the land this morning in our world, there are funeral services of wailing and crying and despair and hopelessness, loud emotions and sadness, or if you're in England, with quiet emotions, but again, massive sadness. And there are millions in this situation, in that hopeless state. Just hopeless. Despair. These people are gone forever. And the tragedy is that many of these people don't even realise that they're lost. They feel the effects of it, but they don't even realise they're lost. And you contrast that to a funeral service of a believer. Quietness. Peace. Hope. Comfort. Isn't the power of the gospel wonderful? Isn't our Saviour worth having? Isn't he valuable? Isn't he worth trusting? Isn't he glorious? And he wants his glory to be put on display to the whole world. And Christ wants to be known in our workplaces, in Shepshed, in the rest of the world. And this is a wonderful passion to have. Isn't this a wonderful passion? And here we are in England, and because Christ wanted England to hear the gospel, we here can be saved, and we're no longer lost, and we no longer have to be lost. We no longer have to choose the path of destruction, but instead we can be the children of God, co-heirs with Christ. And isn't that a wonderful passion, that Christ wanted England to hear the gospel? And shouldn't that be ours too? Now, there's something very interesting in our passage about what Jesus says. There's something that very interesting that comes out. Jesus says to the disciples, we read in verse 35 that Jesus went to all the cities and villages. Jesus went to all the cities and villages. We read that then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Jesus went to all the cities and villages. We don't find Jesus staying in one place. He goes to the rich, he goes to the poor, he goes to the well-educated, he goes to the least educated, he goes to the busy, he goes to the quiet. There is nothing that particularly qualifies a person for hearing the gospel. And sometimes we can be tempted, can't we, to be selective about sharing Jesus. You know, we're happy to tell our best friend about the gospel, but what about that least popular person who no one wants to be friends with? And it's easy, isn't it, to easier to share the gospel with a friendly guy, but how much harder to share the gospel with a grumpy person. But we need to be like Jesus, don't we? We need to go to everybody. And there's another aspect in Jesus' desire that we must consider, and it's this, that Jesus' harvest field wasn't just limited to Judea, where he was working. The harvest field in his mind was the entire world. And this comes out again and again in Jesus' instructions. In Matthew 28, verse 18, we have Jesus, and he's up a mountain in Galilee, and he tells his disciples, "Go and make disciples of all the nations." In a different place, in a house, in Mark chapter 16, verse 15, he says to his disciples, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Do we see the need in Shepshed for the gospel? Doing local outreach is great, and it should be a priority to us. But I want to challenge us this morning and say, what about the rest of the world? What about those places like that place we heard about in China, where in the whole of history there's never been any gospel outreach? I've never heard anything. And there's groups of people all over the world, and they don't have a Bible translation in their language, and there's not a single Christian who can understand how they talk to take the gospel to them. And we know that some of these people, they know that their current worldview isn't answering the big issues of life. Why are we here? What are we doing? Where are we going? They know that there's something wrong with their worldview. And yet, how are they going to hear the good news that can free them from sin and death unless there is a preacher? Do we see the need today? Are missionaries' lives worth risking today in order to see the Bible translated and Christ preached in language groups that don't yet have it? And we look at the harvest field, and it's truly great. There's so much corn to be gathered in, and there are so many people who are lost without Jesus, and there are so few involved in telling others about Jesus. Well, we see the need this morning. Jesus says, "Lift your eyes. The harvest is truly plentiful, but the laborers are few." Well, what are we going to do about such a great need? What are we going to do? Well, Jesus gives us an answer. He says, "Pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. And so my second question is, will you pray? Will you pray? Will we pray big, passionate, earnest prayers that God would raise up laborers and go into this vast harvest field? Will we pray? It's interesting, isn't it? Here we have a God, and he's so powerful that he can create the world just by speaking. He's wise enough to know every single piece of information in the universe, from the blade of grass that grows in the field to the complexity of the human body. He's in charge of everything. Nothing can happen without God first saying it's okay. And he didn't have to use us to spread the news of Jesus. He could have used angels, but he decided that he wants to use us to pass his message of hope on to those who have not heard. Isn't that an awesome privilege? That we can pass this wonderful message that's changed us on to others. Now, we're a group of people here, and we all have different gifts and skills. Some of us are good at maths, some of us are good at English, there are some of us who can preach, some of us who prefer one-to-one work. Some of us are children, some of us are grown-ups, and we're all different, aren't we? But here is something that we can all do. We can all pray that God would raise up labourers for this harvest field of great need. And there's a wonderful promise found in the scriptures in 1 John 5, verse 14, and it tells us that if we ask anything according to God's will, he will hear us and give us what we have asked for. If we ask anything according to God's will, he will hear us and give us what we have asked for. Now, is it God's will that he will raise up labourers into the harvest field? Is it God's will that labourers will be raised up in the harvest field? Well, yes, it is, isn't it? We find that in our verse, that it's God's will that laborers would be raised up for the harvest field. And surely, if we pray this prayer earnestly and passionately, he will hear us and grant us our prayer request. So what are we waiting for? One of the things, we've learned lots of things about mission at the Bible college we're at, but one of the things that keeps coming up again and again and again on our course is that somebody once said, the history of missions is the history of answered prayer. The history of missions is the history of answered prayer. And we have a missionary with us at the college called Elizabeth Moore, and she is a missionary in a tribe in Papua New Guinea. And it's really interesting that even before she went to that tribe in 1984, people were praying that this tribe, who had never been reached by the gospel, who had never had a Bible translation before, people began to pray through a message that went out by Wycliffe. People began to pray that this tribe would one day hear the gospel. And it's interesting that the same year that people began to pray that prayer, Elizabeth got saved. Elizabeth got saved the same year people began to pray that this tribe in Inupang would one day be reached with the gospel. And we find later that she goes there and with her husband and her family, and they do work there, and now there's a church and some of the Bible is translated. And God began to prepare people for that work when people began to pray that God would raise up labourers. I think about us in my situation. When I was growing up at Dudley Baptist Church, there was an older man there, and I always noticed that he used to pray that God would raise up missionaries in our congregation, that some of the young people that were in our church, that God would turn them into missionaries. And here are Naomi and I, and we're looking at going to the harvest field in another area of the world. And you know, the Lord is answering that person's prayer that God would raise up labourers for this vast harvest field of need. We find that prayer is a theme that characterises Paul's ministry. We find that Paul is a praying man. He prays about the gospel work he's involved with. He pleads that people would pray for him. He asks for prayer for what to say in gospel work. We find him asking for prayer that he would be bold in gospel work. He prays that churches would bear fruit, and he tells us that he prays night and day. And here is Jesus, and he tells us to pray about this massive harvest field of need. Pray that the workers would be sent out to the harvest field, because the workers are few. And you know, we can all be involved in this reaching the ends of the earth. Even if we're not able to go, we can be prayers, can't we? And it's a challenge for us. Are we a praying people? Prayer requires energy, doesn't it? Do we exhaust ourselves in prayer about this great need? Will you pray? Now, there's something very funny about this prayer request. Up until this point, the disciples of Jesus had been around him and had been learning from him. And what's really interesting is that whilst Jesus was urging these disciples to pray for labourers, little did they know that they would soon become labourers in this work. And as we flick over to chapter 10 of our passage, we read these words in verse 5 and 7. Chapter 10, verse 5 and 7. It says, "These 12 Jesus sent out and commanded them, saying, 'Do not go into the way of the Gentiles, and do not enter a city of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" And we find that the disciples were the very answer to this prayer. And so my final point is, will you go? Will you go? Hudson Taylor, a missionary to China, said this. He said, "I used to ask God to help me. Then I asked if he might help him. I ended up by asking him to do his work through me." And Jesus gave us the Great Commission, didn't he? He said, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always to the end of the age. Now, looking at this verse, does Jesus tell us to wait for people to come to us? Did he tell us to wait for people to come to us and then explain the gospel to them? Or does he tell us to go out to where the people are? Well, he tells us, doesn't he, to go out and, having gone out, make disciples. Jesus is telling us to go out of our church, go out and step out and start making and building disciples. And it's a privilege, isn't it, to be part of a church that is active in evangelism. And are we involved in this great task? Is obeying Christ to go and make disciples a priority to us today? It's going to be hard, isn't it? It's hard. You know, the youth work at Shepherd is hard work. The older people's work is hard work. Personal evangelism is hard work. But we've been given some wonderful promises in this verse. And we find that attached to Christ's commission is a wonderful promise. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of age. Even to the end of the age. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And gospel work is hard. Telling our friends about Jesus is hard. Evangelistic activities are hard work. Praying for them is hard work. And it's hard, isn't it, to tell others about Jesus and to pray about this great need. It's hard because the people that we work with and bump into are opposed to Christianity, and all those around us are opposed to Christ. And you know, when we come into contact with an unbeliever and maybe he comes along to an activity, it's hard work to follow it up, isn't it? It requires intentional effort, and we have to go out of our comfort zone. But what an encouragement we have in this text. What an encouragement that, lo, I am with you always. Jesus has promised us unconditionally that he would be with us. Praying about gospel hard work, gospel work is hard. Do we find it hard to pray? Yes, but what an encouragement here. Do we find it hard to go out to Shepshed? What an encouragement we find here. Is it hard to go to the ends of the earth? What an encouragement that Christ is with us. And this is no ordinary person, is it? It's somebody better than another Christian sitting beside us, helping us to speak or pray. It's better to think about famous evangelists. To have Christ right beside us is better than having them beside us. This is the Christ who has authority. And that should just fill us with immense confidence. You know, to do outreach is a step towards discouragement. But Jesus wants to cheer us and encourage us. Doing outreach is a step outside our comfort zone. But Jesus wants to encourage us, and he tells us that he's with us. To do outreach is to face difficulties and trials. But Jesus, he knows what it is to be flesh. He knows what it's like to be us. And his compassions fail not, and his love has no limits, and his boundaries are not known to men. And he's promised to be with us. And what about the rest of the world? You know, those people groups who have never been reached throughout the whole of their history. What about those groups? Will we pray for them? Will we pray and be part of that work? Maybe at home, in our prayers, in our prayers for the work. You know, we can all go overseas, even though we can't physically go. We can be here praying and being involved here. And you can pray for missionaries. You know, we feel so inadequate for the work ahead. And every day that we go through our course at Northcotes College, I just feel more and more inadequate. And you know, the reason we keep going forward is because we know that Jesus has promised to be with us. And the scriptures tell us, don't they, that God uses the weak things of the earth to confound the mighty. And that gives us hope, gives Naomi and I hope about the future. And So give us hope today. And it's such an encouragement to us that we know that people are praying for us back at home, and that encourages us and keeps us going forward. Now, the greatest thing in life is to bring others to Jesus Christ. If you had the cure for cancer, would you keep it to yourself? Or would you try and tell the world? And here we have millions of millions of millions of millions of people. They're on their way to hell. And we are the only people who have the only answer to their problem. William Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army, he was a man who was passionate about the Great Commission. And he said, "Some like to live within the sound of a church or a church bell. I'd rather run a rescue shop within a yard of hell." God is zealous about the Great Commission. What about us? You know, are we here today showing God's passion for the world? You know, how about us? How about our work here in the church? Are we a luxurious cruise vessel, or are we a fleet of fishing boats? Will we make the Great Commission one of our top priorities in our ministry here at Shepshed and also in reaching the rest of the world? Will we pray every day that God would send out labourers to this vast harvest field of need? Well, let's just pause for a minute, and maybe we could just spend some time in silent prayer, thinking about this vast harvest field, praying that God would raise up labourers, thinking about how we could be involved in this work. Let's just spend a few moments in silent prayer.